What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Friday morning, a football Friday for week three of the National Football League as we get ready, of course, for the Eagles and the Saints on Sunday. Big game. Implications abound, not just for the win or loss, but how good is our football team this year? We'll certainly be evaluating the game on Sunday through the prism of that. For those 3 hours, what do we got? Obviously, while hoping they get a win. Now, the Phils, they did not get a win last night. They did not clinch a playoff berth last night. The Braves got a win. The Dodgers got a win. So the Phillies still have not made the playoffs. They obviously will, but are now tied with the Dodgers for home field advantage with 9 games to go. All right, all of it on the table. Big day. Beat the Hammer and more on this Friday from Borgata, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
A day in the age of the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm.
Dinosaur.
That really is rough for me, that word. It lasted 23 hours.
What do you mean?
Days were 1 hour shorter when dinosaurs...
No, I got that part, 24 to 23. I'm kind of asking, like, why?
Because the moon was pulling differently on the Earth. The moon is slowing the Earth and its rotation down.
That's amazing.
So it's now taking the Earth 24 hours to rotate on its axis.
Wow.
Whereas long, long ago, when we had giant reptiles roaming the Earth, the Earth took 23 hours to rotate.
Can I ask a question, Rhea? You might be the only person that remembers this. Is it true that Ike years ago thought dinosaurs didn't exist?
I think you might be right.
You're absolutely correct, yes.
This is like 10 or 15 years ago, and Ike went on WIP and said there were no dinosaurs. Am I remembering that?
Yeah.
What is that? Is that Michigan? Is that a Michigan education? Or
Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Don't besmirch Blue here.
Sorry, my bad. John.
If I'm doing Ike dirty, I apologize, but that's my recollection. I wasn't working there. I just remember, like, Ike doesn't believe in dinosaurs. I'm like, what? All right, so...
Well, you don't believe in carbon dating.
It's not that I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in science, DeCamera.
It's not that I don't believe in that.
You don't believe in zoology or learning people's names or learning about animals or plants.
As things evolve, humans will learn more and view it different. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's get to the
building
here.
Blocks.
Let's get to the
molecules. Sorry.
So, the game. Let me just say this right out of the gate. I'm highly concerned about this game versus the Saints. Highly.
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah, I'm the one. Okay, right, exactly. So I'm curious who else is, and really put another way, how concerned are you? Because I got to imagine, other than like the person, and these people exist, that when the Sixers would roll out a team trying to tank, they're like, yeah, we're going to beat Steph Curry tonight. All right, knock it off. All right.
Did those people exist?
Yeah, there are those people. And I'm like, all right, come on, 2 percenters, knock that off. Let's put the real hat on. Let's be real. All right. I got to imagine for the vast majority of people, the game is at the very least somewhat concerning. And I'm curious how concerned you are and obviously why. Now, let me just say this. I go into the highly concerned category for one basic thing. I think the Eagles are going to lose. Now, I'm not, like, convinced. There's no doubt about it.
I think that's wrong.
So, John, tell me why you think the Eagles win this game.
You realize one of your methodologies for picking games last week was, I'm just going to go with whoever plays the Panthers.
Yeah, and I won.
You know the Saints played the Panthers,
okay,
right? You know the Saints have played 2 games, okay, just like we have played 2 games. And by the way, we haven't had training camp for years around here, and I don't expect us to be hitting on all 8 cylinders or however many cylinders this team has until a month in, because that's how it always seems to work out.
They did have great records the last 2 years with that light training camp out of the gate.
Okay.
Great record.
We're 1-1, and we're unsatisfied with that.
That's true.
They are 2-0. They're more than satisfied with that because one of their wins came against the Dallas Cowboys. And Dallas, we know, is such a front runner, and they will lie down on the train tracks for you if you just get out in front of them. Like, why is that a huge achievement that you got the Dallas Cowboys to lie down for you? This is a Saints football team that has a different attitude than previous Saints teams, which I appreciate. You know, Kubiak's kid, Clint Kubiak, is a tough-minded offensive coordinator, and now they have this identity where they're going to roll you. They are going to run the football down your throat, come hell or high water, whatever you put out there, they are going to run it. They will call it and run it, and that's worked well for them. I love that they're doing that. I think that's what the NFL needs to get back to. But we will stop that.
Why?
We know what's coming.
Well, why,
we know
why,
they will hand it off and they will outside zone us just like we got last week, and we have to do better. These players need to play off blocks. Right, they need to set the edge.
Here's what
they
need
to be tougher. They need to bend their knees more. Jordan Davis needs to get out there and give us 50 plays.
Here's my question, John. Why are you convinced that they will?
Because they're talented and they've underperformed to this point. It feels as though... Look, like I said, we didn't have training camp. It's not going to be perfect because this is still bringing guys up to speed. But it's not going to be as bad as it has looked, and the focus this week will be stopping the run. That's what they want to do. They want to run you until they can play action you, and we will have a plan to stop the run this week.
Okay, so
I feel good about that, and I feel good about the fact that everyone's blowing smoke up their butt, and they beat the Panthers and a Dallas team that quit.
All right, so
we had a bad loss last week, and we've been getting the full brunt of it from our coaching staff all week. I guarantee that. What have they been getting in their ears? Everyone's saying, oh, the Saints, they're the greatest team out there. This sets up for a Saints thinking they're more than they are, and the Eagles knowing they have a lot to
prove. Well, I'll say this. That does make me feel a little better. I mean, you wake up on a Friday morning, you know, you don't have a game for two more days. So, you know, it's a bit of a waiting game. But I won't say you're pumping me up, but you're throwing me some optimism. I appreciate that, John. I mean, here's my mindset, and here's what really concerns me. And I'll just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 it, okay? Number one, I'm not going to tell you that I know the Saints inside and out. I am going to tell you, obviously, to this point this year, they've looked great. I'm not going to base that too much, as John pointed out, on beating the Panthers. Because if the Eagles had played the Panthers last week, the Eagles would be 2-0. But, I mean, the Saints demolished the Cowboys. So that's pretty impressive. Number two, the Eagles' pass rush and run defense has been putrid. Now, if they can improve it, obviously the Eagles can win this football game. That's clear. But they better improve it. And, I tend to think they have a greater chance to improve the run defense than the pass rush. So it's just a guess that it'll be easier for the Eagles to improve against the run sooner.
Good thing we're playing a team whose priority is running the football.
I hear you. No, that's fair. Number three, you guys know the way I feel about Jalen. He's not bad, but he's not great. Put another way, I don't think he's as good as many people think he is. And that's always, in the last year or so, been in my mind as the Eagles enter a football game. Number four, short week and on the road.
In that dome.
I mean, that's tough.
This is where you look at the center quarterback exchange, and you wonder if they can handle it with that noise.
And Rhea, the Eagles don't have good history in that dome.
It's pretty brutal.
And I know it's different players. I totally get it, but
doesn't seem to matter.
The Eagles do not win down there.
It does matter.
Jalen Hurts,
it's different players and different teams. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter. Other teams going down there and losing does not matter for this team.
I'll tell you this. It freaks me out as a fan.
Stop it. Okay, maybe.
So go ahead,
maybe
Devin.
It freaks you out as a fan. It does not matter.
Hurts is 2-0 against the Saints in his career.
They here or there? I forget.
Here.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No,
I'm just saying.
I got it. I mean, okay. All right. And here's the other thing. Number five, no A.J. Brown. Guys, let's not kid ourselves and hold out hope. He ain't playing in the game. So, you're playing a game again without...
So they'll be better versed at playing without him.
Well, they should be better versed, but they still don't have their best player.
Right.
I mean, the Sixers didn't have their best player, Joel Embiid, for about a month and a half. They couldn't win a game.
And they'll hand the ball off 26 times. Give the ball to Saquon 26 times.
Well, they better knock that off.
They will have a better plan for the other wide receivers.
And
they'll have a better plan for Dallas Goedert.
Hopefully.
I don't know
Dallas Goedert is a weapon who's been underutilized.
Tremendous.
Quarterback's got to use them.
Trust me, the coaches are looking at that, and they're saying, in the first 15, we're dialing it up. Dallas, you're the first read on 1, 2, 3, 4 of these plays in the first 10.
John, I'm going to ask you a question. Is Dallas Goedert going to have over? Because I don't care if he has 77 catches. Is he going to have over 50 yards in the game?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Well.
No, we'll see.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, look, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I love Dallas Goedert, but it's time to, get going here. 215-592-9494. Your assessment of this game, your level of concern with this game, and obviously why. We'll get into the Philly situation next. Seltzer, a disaster from Taiwan last night? Is that Is that an understatement, Josh?
I just think a classic Taiwan star, you know?
The perfect response. Yeah. Just laugh.
I will just say this. I am stunned that his ERA for the season is not above 9. Because I feel like in the last 37 outings, he's given up more runs than innings pitched.
It is the worst ERA in Phillies history.
Yeah,
since
I was going to say
51.
I think he's past Arrieta. I think he's the worst Phillies. He's the worst Phillies signing of our lifetime. I honestly believe that.
All right, 2-1, but not the most impactful. I'll say that.
No, just but I'm talking bang for the buck. Amount of money for what you got back. I think it's the worst we've ever had.
I think that's probably right. I can't believe how many times I say it right with Vinny Vidi Vici, and the one time I mess it up, and it gets played back forever. It's an outrage.
I feel like you've messed it up several times.
One time. Right? Caesar, the only time Caesar messed up, the actual Caesar, is, you know, when he was with Brutus's wife.
When he
and
died?
Then, and then,
kind of a big deal.
It was with Brutus's mom, I should say. It was with Brutus's mom, and then and he's
mess
also,
with mom.
And he's trying to have all the power, and then they're like, all right, enough of you. We're going to stab you. So that part we don't need to replicate. But the greatness of, I'll take that. All right. Taiwan, we'll get to that situation shortly. And look, the Eagles, I can't imagine anyone reasonably isn't somewhat concerned. How concerned are you? 215-592-9494. John in Allentown right now. Hi, John.
Joe, how many wings does a chicken have?
How many wings, you said? Two! Did I nail it that time, John?
Yeah,
it seemed like you did it with confidence.
Well, you know.
But we did review this yesterday.
And I've had 5 or 6 years to dwell on this one.
Yeah.
John, did you enjoy that? That is good audio, isn't it?
I laughed after I said it, and then James played it. I laughed so hard, I almost choked on the chicken that I was eating.
Wow. I've been there.
And I was on Route 1, 5 lanes of traffic, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, I know how that is.
That was great. That was great, man.
By the way, John, let me throw in a quick Route 1 comment. I'm still confused by Route 1 and Business Route 1. Like, why don't they just name it Route 2?
Well, there probably is a Route 2, is my guess, pal.
We have Route 1 and Business Route 1.
I'm guessing there's a Route 2.
And by
somewhere.
The way, while I'm at it, when you're out in the, I forget if it's King of Prussia or Plymouth meeting, why do we need 328A and 328B?
Really?
Can't one of them just be freaking 329?
Hey, with the 1 versus 2.
Well, isn't there
two,
a 329 after that, though?
Well, then make that 330.
1 versus 2 doesn't have something to do with, like,
I don't know.
The number, if you're going east and west, is even, and if you're going north and south, it's odd or
I believe
vice versa.
That's correct, yeah.
So you can't just willy-nilly go 1, 2, 3
and sometimes,
in any direction.
And sometimes miles play into this, like on the turnpike. And the Blue Route changed years ago. Blue Route used to be numbered differently, and then they numbered them. Anyway, all right, John, what do you got on the Eagles? How concerned are you or not?
Anyway, a guy who's been driving for 30 years all across the Northeast, the numbers thing, trust me, it's better now than it's ever been. So on the Eagles, I don't know, man. I woke up this morning at 12:30, and I'm sitting there watching ESPN, and for some reason, I just said the Eagles are going to win.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They're a good team. And they haven't played well.
I don't even think they're a good team, John.
Well,
I think they're an okay team. But I just think that everything points to the Eagles getting smoked. Just like everything pointed to the Eagles smoking the Falcons.
So you think it's one of those things that almost looks too obvious and then go the other way, that argument? Because you do hear that argument in football a lot, especially with points spreads.
The line is weird, though, isn't it?
Well, it moved quite a bit.
But it's still
2.5.
2.5 now, yeah. The Saints are 2.5-point favorites.
John, fantastic phone call, my man. Appreciate that. Not fantastic. Taiwan Walker. We get to his reality and what Rob Thompson said postgame. That's coming up in 1 minute.
Hey, Philly, if it's been a minute since you've considered a Nissan, now's the time to check out my friends at the Busch Auto Group. With 6 new Nissan models under $30,000 in 2 locations in Limerick and Exton, quality and affordability are right around the corner. This month, save up to $10,000 on select Nissan models. Visit them in-store at Exton Nissan and Nissan 422 of Limerick or online at BushAutoGroup.com. That's BUSH AutoGroup.com. Philly rides with us.
All right, so as we broadcast from Borgata today, obviously heaviest on the Eagles with a game on Sunday. Now, it could have been a day to celebrate the Phillies making the playoffs, except they, you know, didn't make the playoffs.
And yesterday could have been too, huh?
Could have been too what?
Yesterday also could have been it. We've gone back-to-back days where we could have been celebrating the Phillies.
Correct.
I know.
Two in a row. All right, so there's two different issues as it relates to last night. There's Taiwan Walker. And then there's whether Rob Thompson should have pulled Taiwan Walker earlier. Now, Seltzer, why don't you take first crack at either or both? Taiwan Walker and the situation, the floor is yours.
So I get why they started him. You know, we've been through this fifth starter thing, whether it's Allard or whoever, you know, Phillips, all these guys.
Can I just say this again? They don't have a fifth starter.
Exactly. And look, Taiwan had looked better that last outing. You know, he was okay for a couple innings. So I got the start. But to your second point, absolutely, 100%, yes, he left him out there too long. It was clear. The announcers talked about it. Like, on the radio, Fransky was talking about it with Stocker. Like, I think everyone felt like he left him out too long.
All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson because he addresses it. Here's Rob Thompson after the game. I mean, he does have a reason. You may not like it. I think it resonates with me a bit, but that's predicated on Taiwan hopefully going two more innings, which clearly he couldn't at a certain point. Here's Rob Thompson after the game.
How disappointing is just his performance today? I know you're obviously hoping for a little bit better.
I was, and I was excited about this start. I really was, based on the last time. You know, just the home runs were pitches that weren't executed.
But even earlier in that game, like when you guys showed some fight early in the game, there's no urge on your end to be like, let's try to steal this. Like, let's go to the bullpen now. In your mind, it just wasn't the spot in the fourth inning there.
To our leverage guys?
No, just to like get someone else in there.
Who?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, those guys that are low leverage guys, you know? And I don't really want, and we've got a game tomorrow. We got a game for six days in a row. So you start using all those guys up, then what happens tomorrow if you get down? Mm-hmm. So it just didn't work out. My fault.
All right. So obviously the start itself is not Rob Thompson's fault. He does not have a fifth starter. The question is whether it's his fault to leave Taiwan in. I'll tell you this.
It is his fault. He just said it. I get his argument, but at a certain point you have to look at the guy on the hill and look at the importance of winning a freaking game. Because guess what? You can get guys rest if you freaking clinch some stuff here. Like, I get it, but that guy didn't have it.
Well,
he clearly didn't have it.
I think Rob Thompson said my fault sarcastically.
Well, then I don't like that because it was his fault. Like, you should have pulled him. Like, I get your point. You got to save pitchers, but you also have to win baseball games.
There's also an argument that it's Dave Dombrowski's fault. I mean, it is astounding to not have anybody in any level of the organization that can be a fifth starter.
I agree.
I mean, I've actually almost never seen anything like
it. Well, don't you think that's what Topper was suggesting? I mean, it really is.
Kinda.
Like he's all but shouting it to the hills when he's saying, "Who? Who?"
Right. Now the reporter's got to do a better job.
Yeah, say Jose Ruiz or whoever.
Just say a pitcher. Just you pick one of the guys that's, you know, one of the scrub pitchers. You just pick one of them. I mean,
Jose Ruiz isn't a scrub, but he's in that spot.
I would have said Bruce Ruffin. Put in Don Carmen. What do I care? It's called anybody else. Well, look, we'll take your thoughts on the Phils. I mean, we've been through this for a couple months now. When the fifth starter pitches, they lose. And when the other pitchers pitch, they normally win. Thankfully, fifth starter probably won't go in the playoffs. But God forbid, if one of these four get injured. I mean, Taiwan will not get a playoff start, but you really could have a bullpen game, which is not ideal if one of the four main pitchers ever got hurt. And by the way, you still got, like, you know, six more weeks to win the World Series. And the World Series goes into November. So let's cross our fingers on Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, and Sanchez because, you know, they need those guys to stay healthy for another month or so. All right, from Borgata on a Friday morning, Football Friday, getting ready for the Eagles and Saints. Hello, Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, Devin, Rhea, Seltzer, great to be with you. So we're going to get to Kelsey shortly and what he said yesterday about the Sixers in the arena situation. Also, I want to give everyone a chance to win Phillies tickets. But before we do that, James, can you please, because, you know, it's funny, you know, sports updates, we only have, you know, so much time. And it's what do they call that, Rhea? Music bed. The music bed is moving. So.
I don't know if you notice. I always have my timer running.
I did not, but that's impressive. No, they're very succinct and great, obviously. And so, you know, it's funny because, you know, you would think Shohei Ohtani creating the 50-50 club last night would be the lead with Shohei. I don't know that it is. James, can you, for everyone listening, describe the magnitude of what Shohei Ohtani in total accomplished last night?
Yeah, I mean, he arguably had the greatest game a hitter's ever had last night. It's in the discussion. You know, we remember Mark Whitten, 4 homers, 12 RBI.
Yeah.
So also 51-51 club. Let's give him his credit. He has now established a 51
on his way to 60-60 in the final nine.
So just some wild stats from last night. Shohei Ohtani became the first player since 1901, so that's, you know, the modern era, with at least 6 hits and multiple home runs and multiple stolen bases in a game. Actually became the first player with at least 5 hits and multiple home runs and multiple stolen bases in the game. Added another for good measure. Became the 7th player in the history of baseball with 17 total bases in a game. Listen to this one. Prior to last night, he had 17 total bases last night with 2 stolen bases. Prior to last night, the record for most total bases in a multi-stolen base game was 11 by Kirk Gibson.
Yeah.
There are so many of these stats, obviously just also the first leadoff hitter ever to have 10 RBI in a game. Like, you could just go on and on.
By the way,
I
don't think you said this one. I could be wrong. 6 hits.
Yeah, I said 6 hits. Oh, yeah, the first player ever to have 6 hits, 6 hits, multiple home runs, and multiple stolen bases in a game, or since 1901. So essentially the first player ever.
It's amazing. It's an all-timer. So look, here's the deal. And by the way, this guy's going to be, maybe the Phillies problem in a month in the playoffs.
Well, also real quick, Joe, just from a macro perspective, the idea that this guy, it was like, all right, he can't pitch this year. Let's see what he could do just focusing on hitting. And he's like 51-51.
Well, could you imagine if he had pitched in that game?
This is why I said to you that he is the greatest baseball player we've ever seen, and it's just an inarguable fact. It doesn't matter what he does for the rest of his career. Terms of pure talent and watching on a night-to-night basis what this guy can do pitching and hitting, it's the greatest thing we've ever seen.
Well, the only distinction I'll make is I think what you're saying, James, is in a short period of time, you believe he's the best player, but obviously he's not the most accomplished.
Of course he's not the most accomplished. That's the point. But he is the most talented baseball player we've ever seen.
He's a better hitter than Barry Bonds?
No.
He's a top 10 pitcher is my point. Yeah, I'm saying the ability to be a 51-51 guy and a top 10 pitcher in baseball is the most talented thing we've ever seen.
How close is he to being Barry Bonds?
He's getting closer. I mean, Bonds was on a different level.
He's not
Bonds
that
also
close.
Had
is
the juice
crazy
going.
Thing,
so
yeah.
The juice also skews the whole thing. All right, here's the deal. In honor of Shohei, who's going to be a pain in the butt in October, who created the 50-50 club last night, and as James then said, created the 51-51 club, we'll ask you today, and we got Phillies tickets on the line where you can win tickets to the Phillies-Cubs game on Monday. It's a 6:40 start, and tickets are available at Phillies.com. For the Phillies tickets today at 215-592-9494, give us a notable club. 51-51 has become a notable club. John Ritchie, when you think of, and there's so many ways to address a club, just going to leave that out there. John, when you think of a notable club, what hit you?
I'm going straight forward here, and I'm flying right at you. The camera,
Club
because
Hammer?
You know, you scoff at the validity of Mickey Mouse and how important he is in today's world.
Yes. That's a big one.
The Mickey Mouse Club is real, the camera, and children enjoy Mickey Mouse today every bit as much as they did in 1950.
You were good up
maybe
until
almost
that point.
As much as they did in 1950.
So John also takes, let me just say this, John takes a Mount Rushmore, bang!
Yeah, that was going to be my answer.
Double bang!
Now I'm scrambling.
I mean, you know, all right, Rhea, a club. I would personally prefer some of the haymakers stay out there for the audience, but we'll see.
You can find us in the club.
Yeah. In the club.
In the club.
In the club.
Said, I'm not even kidding. That was my second answer.
No!
Yeah.
All right. We delay again. We go to Seltzer. Seltzer, a club.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Another big one. Devin, do you have a pivot?
A book series I used to read when I was younger, The Babysitter's Club.
Okay.
There you go.
Classic.
Look, there are big, big, big answers for clubs. Sometimes play on words, sometimes not. Give us a great answer. Whoever provides the best answer is going to win those Phillies tickets. I will refrain from answering the question just because I want to let people. I mean, okay, fine. Club Hammer. Saturday,
that's not a thing.
Saturday night at the Hammer's house. Well, what? It's an apartment.
We're never.
How many people are at the club?
It cannot fit more than about 22 people in my apartment. That's how it is. Really, 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 really tiny. And that would be people like having to like be in the bathroom to fit. I'm not kidding. It's really small.
Yeah, and they all get a shot at the bidet.
They do, but with the door closed. It's
well, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of.
Are you those serious?
Parties.
This is a thing.
Well,
hold on.
I had one.
Have you
time,
done this before?
One time, I had my buddies over, and there were turns with the bidet.
Yeah, he told us
oh
this.
My
yeah,
God.
There were turns. There were turns. All right, 215-592.
You know how to party well.
Exactly. All right, what Kelsey said about the arena, we'll get to that soon. Let's talk to M right now. Good morning, M.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Great, M.
You ain't play your job.
Good Excuse
morning.
Me?
Thanks for joining. You ain't play your job. Good morning. Thanks for joining. Or whatever.
No, it's because we're out of the studio. So we don't have – I appreciate you trying to tee it up. When we're in the studio, we have that right in front of me. But at Borgata, it is not.
Oh, poor Stan.
Yeah.
So chicken's got 12 wings.
Huh? Well, there's that whole thing about how there's two in each part of the wing, and people were talking about that also, and it's, you know. But anyway.
But, Joe, that does not okay. – that never leads to 12.
It does not lead to 12.
You know that.
I do know okay. that. Unless you have
no,
Trimese twin chickens.
It never leads to 12.
Right? I mean, what if you have three chicken. Attached together?
No.
Oh, my God. No.
Trimese twin chickens. did you graduate?
I did a couple times. So I graduated from fifth grade, which I still wonder if there should have been a fifth grade graduation.
Graduated from fifth grade.
I graduated from eighth grade. I graduated from 12th grade, and I graduated from senior year of college. So I had four graduations.
How do you graduate from fifth grade?
Yeah, you ascend from five to six in the same school. You go lower school to middle school.
That's not a legitimate graduation.
Yeah.
Hey, James.
Yes.
James, can you hear me?
I can.
That was a great segue, right?
Em, you're having your own comedy routine here just by asking questions. I like this. All right, Em, what do you got on the sports scene?
I do, but 1 second, right? Because yesterday I was on the phone from 6:37 to 9:55 when y'all hung up, and I had the winning answer. And the winning answer was the 2020 graduation class due to COVID.
Yep.
And sure,
who or what got shortchanged?
Oh,
that
would have
won. I know. I told
won.
Em that would have won.
That would have won.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So with the Taiwan thing, I told myself I'm new to baseball, right? Mm-hmm. But I told myself I wasn't going to watch because I'm already – well-versed in the Taiwan thing. So, but, you know, I put myself through it, and with two outs and no hits, he still ended up giving up two runs in the first.
That was brutal. And, Em, you summed it up really well for those that watched. Quote, I put myself through it.
Dude, it was so perfect
That's
when
a great
he said
line,
that. I wish I hadn't have put myself through
that
it.
That is what the experience is like. All right, Em, give me a great answer here, a notable club.
Okay. The Mile High.
The Mile
oh,
High.
Oh, big one. Big
you
to
might,
start.
You might win. After not winning yesterday, Mile High Club, you've got a shot for a winning answer right there. All right, 215. Let me ask you a question. What percentage of Americans do you think is in the Mile High Club? It's got to be under one.
Yeah, I was going to say like point something.
Is it above point one? Is it one in a thousand?
Whoa.
I would guess it's like, yeah, like point. I don't know.
No,
it's probably below point one,
it's
honestly.
Under one in a thousand. Under one in a thousand.
I think so, too.
That's ambitious.
It's probably one in, like, 50,000, if we're being honest.
I think you're right.
I think you might be under...
I don't think so, John.
Undervaluing people's explorativeness.
Well, you got some experience in this area?
I'm not saying I do.
Oh, okay.
I have a survey number on it.
What do you say, Ryan? What do you say?
According to a survey, 5%.
No way.
I'm just saying when I'm
reading. People lying and saying, yeah, I did it. Sure.
But a whopping 78% would like to.
Wow.
Well, that probably seems a little low as well.
Yeah, exactly.
A little low. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up in 1 minute, what Jason Kelsey said about the Sixers ownership group as it relates to the arena situation. Unbelievable audio. We'll get to that in 1 minute's time. Hey, let me tell you about United Tire. You know, they are the best in the business, phenomenal at what they do in helping people with their cars. United Tire and service. All the tires you can imagine and all the service you can possibly need, whether it's fixing up a car that's got a big problem or just keeping a car with great maintenance on the road over and over and over again to try to get that mileage up to, you know, 200,000, 250,000, and ultimately save you a lot of money in the end by having great care of your car. Look, here's the deal. Right now, United Tire, they've got a deal where you can buy any four tires at United Tire. You'll receive a free oil change or a basic four-wheel alignment to keep those tires wearing correctly. It's an awesome deal. It's part of why I always tell you, nobody beats United. Get yourself to United Tire, where there's 10 different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. You can start with their website, unitedtire.com. That's unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. All right, I'm guessing that 76ers owner Josh Harris and Philadelphia star and international star Jason Kelce aren't going to be driving in a car together anytime soon. Because yesterday, Kelce really took Josh Harris, not by name, but we knew who he was talking about, to the woodshed. I will tell you, my favorite part of this audio, there's a point in here, and I forget exactly how far into it, maybe a minute in or so. This is going to be about a 2.5-minute piece of audio. There is a point where you can tell, at least I thought, Jason Kelce wanted to curse talking about Josh Harris, but he knew this is radio and pulled back a little bit there.
And after cursing last week, he figured, you know, maybe he should bring it in this week. Yeah.
But he didn't hold much back, because Kelce is really fired up about the fact that he feels the Sixers, and I think he's right, ownership group has strong-armed the city into getting the deal that they're going to ultimately want to get in Center City instead of being in South Philadelphia, and the whole Camden threat and all that. Here's Kelce yesterday. Listen to this. Explosive. We'll react. Here's Kelce.
Jason, your preference, Camden, Center City, Philly, the South Philadelphia Sports Complex, where would you prefer it be?
I would prefer it stays in South Philly.
Me too.
Unquestionably. And I'll say this, when it does get built in Center City and all of these people are displaced, at the end of the day, people are probably going to love it. In 10 years, all this is going to be different. And we're probably going to be really happy that there's this beautiful complex that was developed down there, and it's a thriving part of the city. But right now, I really hate it. And part of me is like, I have scars from this, from growing up in Cleveland and watching Art Modell try and strong arm the city and then move him to Baltimore. And I really have a strong disdain for the fact that this guy strong armed the city by threatening to move him out of the city. And all of these people that have devoted all of their time, all of their efforts, all of their money, and like a lifetime of fandom towards this team, and now you're going to strong arm people against what the city wants. I really have a hard time being okay with that. I'm not okay with it. I think it's wrong. But that's how I feel.
And then, Jason, let me give you one more on that, because I've said this in the air. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Part of what bothers me about what you just said there, not what you said, but the Sixers ownership thing, I would have respected their position more if they less said it's about what's good for the city and more said what it's good for them.
Yeah.
They would not be doing this if it did not put additional monies in their pocket.
That's why they're doing it. It has nothing to do with the city, and they're strong-arming the city. And the city, what do? You risk losing the Sixers? And like, the only thing the fans can do is say, fine, move. We're not going to do it. And then we don't have a basketball team. And it just sucks. It just sucks that there's that much, you know, and this is part of, you know, the ownership group isn't Philadelphian. It's got a New Jersey Devils team, a Philadelphia team, and now a Washington team. And now they're forcing the city to do what this guy wants, and it sucks. But at the end of the day, like I said, at the end of the day, we're all going to be really happy with it. I do think that, other than the people that get displaced out of Chinatown and the people that aren't going to be able to live there anymore, the vast majority of fans are probably going to have a better interaction with a beautiful new stadium and outstanding new shops and retail and all and residential. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. You know, it's just another, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Jason, let me
but
say this.
But part of this is like growing up in Cleveland, like I went through this firsthand, and I lost a football team for 3 years, so I get the mayor's position and why they're doing this, but it sucks. And I just don't think that amount of, disrespect towards the citizens that allow you to have this team is appropriate.
Look, it's incredible. I mean, it's another example of why Jason is not only a true Philadelphian, but just a passionate guy that his passion resonates with us because he lives life with his heart on his sleeve. I mean, it's really amazing. Now, I will say this. The one thing, there's two things maybe I'd say I disagree with him a little bit on. I don't think, other than people in Chinatown that get displaced, like we're all going to love it down the road. I do think there will be a lot of people that will not enjoy and may choose not to go to games because of crime, transportation issues.
Transportation, the biggest one.
It's a big one. It's just a big one. Parking. I mean, it's really going to be, I think it's going to be a mess. So that's one
I do
reality.
Think he's right, though. People get used to it. People get used to things. Like,
well,
change happens.
Things,
and, I do think his point is right in that, like, it will be a cool stadium in a city that people will enjoy going to, like, when they go to it. I think he's right about that.
Here's where it kind of depends. Like, are they going to really, really improve the subway system to make people from the suburbs feel
Well, I think they're going to have to.
They have to. And but, that's, I mean, hopefully
but
they, it forces
And that
them
could end up being
but
a good thing
not.
For the city overall,
It'd be
too.
A great thing if they do it. But you know, not everything gets accomplished.
They're going to have to vastly, vastly improve SEPTA.
Right.
Both from the suburbs and within the city.
Yeah. All right. So that's one. The other thing I'll say is, this is just me. I don't know if everyone in Pennsylvania / Philadelphia thinks of it this way. I would not view if the Sixers played in Camden as we lost the Sixers.
Me either.
Like, this isn't the Cleveland Browns moving to Baltimore.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's
you know,
an entirely
so, I mean,
know,
the Detroit Pistons 30 years ago moved to Auburn Hills. Yeah. The Jets and the Giants moved to New York. So it's not like, you know, you don't have a team anymore. But okay. Now, Devin, we all commented on this yesterday. First crack for you to jump in on this one.
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion of where you prefer the Sixers Arena Bay?
I mean, I love that all of our teams are in one place in South Philadelphia. I've lived several different places, you know, before moving back to Philly. And the one comment I got from people who were visiting Philly or had been here was, I think it's so cool that you guys have all of your teams in the same place. And you guys all share that, like, one little mecca in South Philadelphia. And I hate that they're kind of taking that away. I appreciate that Jason said it's a bit disrespectful to the fans, and it's just one more instance of the Sixers organization being totally out of touch with their fan base and what we want. But I do agree with him that once it's built, we'll get used to it. I'm sure it'll be beautiful. I live in the city. I'm not looking forward to the traffic that's going to come with construction and then the games, I'm sure, even if they do improve public transportation. I mean, it is what it is. I don't love it. I would have preferred that they stayed in South Philly, but I also get it. You know, they're paying rent at the arena that they're at, and they want their own space.
Yeah, what really complicated is when Comcast sold the Sixers, because Comcast owned the Sixers and Flyers, and then they got split, and then the new Sixers owners were tenants in the building of a different company, and that's where things got really messy. Look, yesterday we had a Twitter poll question about where do you want the arena to be, you know, just where would you want the Sixers to play, and we had the three choices. Camden, Center City, and
South Philly Sports
South
Combat.
Philly, yeah. South Philly obviously won the poll. We knew they would. Okay. So today we're actually presenting it in a different way. Today's Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season in Armin. Available 1.9% financing in all-new 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Here's the poll question today. We're going off the assumption, and I think it is a fair assumption to make, that the Sixers ownership group told the mayor, we ain't playing in South Philly past 2031. Not doing it. We're going to have a new arena. Whether it's in Philadelphia / Pennsylvania or Camden / New Jersey, we ain't staying in South Philly. So this is probably what the mayor was tasked with. So we will ask you this question. If there were only two options, where would you want the Sixers to play amongst these two options? Camden or Center City, Philly? We have put them in alphabetical order. Look, I know there's a lot of people listening right now from Philadelphia. There's a lot of people listening right now from Camden and New Jersey. You can vote based on whatever you want. Economic realities, whether the game would be 2 minutes from your home or an hour from your home, your choice. Just where would you rather they be, Camden or Center City, Philly?